edition of the Hagman Report. Our guest, Craig the Sawman Sawyer, that's the number 4, childrescue.org. So glad to have him. Talking about a number of issues. You know, let's talk about a couple of things, including, if we can start out this hour, if you don't mind, let's talk about the Islamic infiltration that really we saw post 9/11. Do you mind? Can we go there?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, one thing that I did, mentioned this, the Islamic training compounds across the United States, and we get, I get probably an email a week or more, depending on the subject about these. I had done some surveillance, just by way of introduction. In fact, done some surveillance back in 2005, 2006. And published a report that appeared in the Regional Organized Crime Information Center special research report about the group Jamaat al-Fukra. And I got to tell you, Craig, the Jamaat al-Fukra group is headed by Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani from Lahore, Pakistan. And I know you can't see this, but if you want to put up the picture of Sheikh Jilani, which would be... I don't even know the numbers anymore. I numbered them, but the fat guy with the beard. But that's Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani. Now you might know him. He started, by the way, the Holy Islamville, or the group Jamaat al-Fukra, the community of the impoverished. His headquarters. He came in to the United States back in 1980. And I don't want to take your time up, Craig, but I just want to kind of give a real brief summary very quickly. If you go to the second picture of him, or just go through the pictures real quick, I can narrate what they are. And this will give the listeners and viewers a good idea and kind of a primer for what we're talking about. I had done some surveillance. That's Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani, shooting an AK-47, and again, Craig, my apologies for not even being able to see this, but and just go ahead and scroll through them as you can. About 10 seconds, okay. In case that name sounds familiar, he, of course, was the individual who Daniel Pearl, the Wall Street reporter, was on his way to interview. And I had conducted surveillance, and this is a frame from some undercover video taken Muslims of Jamaat al-Fukra saying that we are establishing training camps in the United States. And as of mid-2005, or the first decade of the 21st century, there were about 30-ish, the numbers vary, of these paramilitary-style training camps across the United States. I conducted surveillance on the one in Islamburg, in Hancock, New York, and people will see the sign that says "Welcome to Islamville." I took that picture, and it's been all over the internet. And what I found there, Craig, was activity, paramilitary activity, training, and in fact, I found an unmarked grave. I found a school bus with bullet holes. The school bus was shot up. They were using it for target practice. They were the Muslims there were using it to board. For training, for paramilitary training. I talked to the neighbors, interviewed the neighbors. This was a long, very lengthy surveillance operation that I conducted personally, and along with other investigators working on my behalf. That picture there, or variations thereof, it's a sign that says "Welcome to Islamburg." That has been featured on numerous channels. I took that photograph at the very beginning of my surveillance. The reason I mention all of this is I drafted a report in 2006, February 13th of 2006, and submitted to the FBI. Before the ink was dry in my report, again, it was 12th of February 2006, before the ink was dry in my investigative report, which again made it to the Regional Organized Crime Center bulletin, but before the ink was dry, Sheikh Jilani had a copy of my report and published on his website a fatwa against me, basically a religious statement. They didn't call it a fatwa. And how I was informed of that, it was going to knock on the door late at night at my home. And my wife answered the door, and there were two FBI agents there. and said, hey, you might want to think about beefing up your security. You got a little problem. And explained to me that the FBI basically screwed the pooch and turned over the report to Jelani and that guy. Now, thoughts? I guess I could go on.
Look, yeah, no, I've got a lot of thoughts. I'm surprised you don't see smoke coming out of my ears right now. If I were an evil terrorist who wanted to murder school children and blow up shopping malls and terrorize the United States, I would love it if the United States government were stupid enough and naive enough to allow us terrorists to have forward operating bases all over our enemy territory. In other words, all throughout the United States. And I don't even want to talk about it from that perspective anymore because it sounds wrong. But I'll say it from my perspective. I enjoy my soul, my heart, my skin better than theirs. So I'll say, hey, why are we being that foolish? Because that what we have done, we, the United States, have allowed our enemies to move here, develop forward operating bases, training bases, right down the road from our shopping malls and our schools with our most precious and innocent and defenseless children. And they are training to do whatever it is that they're training to do. They got ranges, like you said, you know, I know other cases of different ones, school buses and stuff like that. That's typical. They're doing whatever they want. And they are, Doug, exploiting our weakness in our system. We're so very tolerant, we Americans, even of our enemies, we're so naive that we can't recognize the fact that things are going to go boom one day at once, simultaneously, all across our country. And and we'll look back and think, how stupid were we? How stupid was this? But even if you talk to most American people, they will attack you for suggesting that anything be done before they murder countless Americans. I mean, it's like we have to wait for it to happen before anybody will listen. So I've known people like real estate agents and others that have had to deal with these people and started figuring out who they were and what they were doing. I'm going, what on earth? How is this possible? Well, they do it because they're careful not to break any of our laws. Now, they can train for jihad against us, and they can train to attack us all they want. And until they crank off that nuke that they've smuggled through our wide open border, or until they've cranked off ANFO charges or whatever they cook up, or burn our schools down, or until they actually pull the pin, they haven't committed any crime. So, you know, until they suicide bomb themselves, our law enforcement tells us that they can't do anything. So, man, I tell you what, that's a law that we need to give close. The laws surrounding that dynamic need to be given close consideration to figure out what it is that we really could and should do without encroaching on our citizens' rights. We don't need to have our panties down around our ankles just waiting for the inevitable by terrorists, you know, training in terrorist camps in every state of the union right now waiting for it. That's just foolish. So exactly. Somewhere there's a solution. You know, somewhere we've got to explore that, Doug, and ask some hard questions.
Yeah,
you know, and just look the other way and hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you, it's going to come. I mean, they're here for a reason.
Yeah, this alien invasion, and this you don't see the Christians being brought in. You see the unvetted Muslims being brought in, and under the guise of humanitarian purposes. And if you want to call it a humanitarian crisis, then it's one of the State Department, their own making under Hillary Clinton or under Obama, in my view anyway. But the fact of the matter is that they have no, and of course you've lived this, you've seen this, they've got no, intent on assimilating whatsoever. And they're establishing, as you said, forward operating bases. Now, let me kind of go one step further. Oh, and by the way, the various compounds and such, it was interesting that not only did the in the case of the Hancock, New York location, not only were they welcomed by the city officials even back in mid, 2005, 2006, they were celebrated there. And in fact, the FBI had thrown them a kind of a luncheon. I shouldn't say the FBI were guests at a luncheon thrown by the people at this compound. And it was just this past July, where that particular location was raided, and they found a cache of weapons and ammunition and such. Just as an FYI. But okay, if I can ask you this,
we've been foolish, Doug.
Yeah,
the nation.
Have.
That's foolish, and that's going to be expensive to a degree that's going to be incalculable one day.
You know,
shame on us.
Yeah,
I got my fingers on my ears, going, "Here it comes! Here it comes! Here it comes!" But because that's what I see when I see them building and staging and training, I'm thinking, "Okay, well, here it comes, folks!" And you try to notify law enforcement or anyone else about it, and they're like, "Don't be so racist."
Exactly.
You know, it's not about any race. I don't care where they come from or what their race is. I care what they're preparing to do and what their ideology demands that they do. It's a one-way street with Islam. There's no give. It's all take.
That's
they
right.
They take. They conquer. They
That's
consume.
Right.
They yep. they don't give back. It's not in their playbook. And shame on people for not owning up and admitting that. It's got nothing to do with race or intolerance. It's got everything to do with recognizing what it is that their ideology dictates that they do. And it's a one-way street.
All right.
It's a hostile one.
Well, now I've got actually two questions in two different directions. The one question, of course, is what is your take on, for example, the Muslims in particular joining forces with the left progressives, you know, the communists at the street level, it appears. For example, that Linda Sarsour, and the Women's March, being a Muslim, and then other Muslims joining with the RevCom groups, the communists at the street level, at the bottom level. What do you think about that, and why is that? And the second question is the higher level, which would be the infiltration, Muslim infiltration of Congress, and what's going on there. So whichever order you want to take that in.
Well, they've got a lot of money.
Okay.
They've amassed a lot of wealth. And from what I have seen, they can buy whatever they want. And we'll train them, and we'll give them access, and we will turn over the keys to them, and we'll give them special badges for things that that we should never give any foreign nation of any kind. I think money, sadly, money talks and too much of the case. But in another case, it's an alliance, a mutually beneficial alliance of convenience. You know, they all want control of the United States, the deep state subversives. You got the globalists, you got the Islamists, and they all want control of the United States. So growing up, here's an analogy. Growing up in Southern Texas, camping, once witnessed two raccoons on either side of a metal garbage can in a campsite, and they were cooperating. One was on one side, one was on the other, and they were lifting the lid up. And once they got the lid off, they turned the thing over, and then they began fighting over what was inside. But they were smart enough to cooperate, because one of them couldn't have gotten that lid off by themselves. So I see that as a kind of a visual of what's going on. We've got different enemies of different types that are all cooperating to break the back of the United States. And then at some point they'll all turn on each other as to who's going to get what's inside. But, right now we've got all our enemies kind of aligning, and we'd better wake up to it, and we'd better start taking smarter actions. And again, it goes, one of the biggest things right now is our president is under attack, and he cannot do his job effectively because he's got these attackers. They're American crooked politicians are attacking him 24/7, and they should be in prison, but they're not. And so that's why I'm back to Jeff Sessions. I'm like, man, doggone it. If you'd perp walk about 50 or 200 of these big name scumbag subversives, there'd be precious few of them left bothering with President Trump. And it would change the face of that battle. It would give us fire superiority. A lot of people would realize, man, attacking the Trump's not all that fun or lucrative right now. It's, in fact, I may get perp walked for all the stuff that I'm guilty of. So, I think, man, that needs to happen. It would get the hostiles off of the president's back, where he could start rallying some support, move the ball upfield, start getting some positive legislation in place, and start making things better, clean these agencies. Man, can you imagine if the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ were cleaned up and were acting in good faith for we the people and had President Trump's back and were supporting him? Dude, crooks couldn't get away with anything. Any kind of crooks, man, every time they pop their head up, they have to get investigated and raided and taken down, because the whole system would be working so well. And right now they're all just almost wasting our tax dollars.
I love it. Because you're the military you represent the best, in my view, of the military. And the best of the federal intelligence and federal law enforcement, and so you speak like and you plan like a military and a good guy in the federal law enforcement class. So it's nice to talk with you, and you can outline the problem, and you're doing so well in outlining the problem. And, of course, anticipating the consequences should this not be cleaned up. The attacks against Donald Trump are going to continue. Yesterday we were talking with Jerome Corsi Dr. Jerome Corsi, and of course, he said, look, Mueller, Comey, as you had pointed, as we had talked earlier, hey, it's going to happen unless it stopped. But I think you're right. I mean, you got what Sean Hannity calls the destroy Trump media constantly 24/7, 93% negative talking and printing about Donald Trump, and the Congress, both sides of the aisle, disallowing or preventing Donald Trump from making specific appointments, which is really affecting the outcome that you're talking about. And this is just absolutely crazy. I mean, are we not seeing, in your estimation, are we not seeing kind of a coup take place within the federal government right now?
It's a slow creep, silent coup is what it is. And at some point, and people who agree with me that the First Amendment is crucial, it's very, very important, some of them are going to have a problem with this, even though they agree with me on the First Amendment. We've got to protect that First Amendment. Man, our freedom of speech is crucial. Man, that's one of the biggest parts of who we are and what the United States is. But at some point, when you have a news media and an entertainment media that is so bought out and so owned by hostile entities and is being used so negatively and deceiving the American citizens to such a degree that it is literally a slow creep, hostile coup of sorts, of a deliberate propaganda and deceit campaign to cause the American public to think that things are different than they really are in order to get a positive and loyal president out of there. At what point do the owners and the execs of these news agencies at what point are they held accountable, and what point is too far? As far as the lying and deceit, because look, yep. CNN, MSNBC, the others, they're lying their pants off, and it's exposed constantly by Fox News and those in the private sector. Hey, look, here's the factual data. They were wrong about that. At what point are they legally accountable for attacking our commander in chief? Because at some point they are liable. At some point, they must be held accountable, and it's tricky territory. People are going to go, First Amendment. Well, yeah, I get it. I'm on board with that. I agree. But at some point, there is such thing as too far, and I think we have to start exploring what that is.
Absolutely. And Craig, I saw a report today that talked about how when you have right-wing media versus left-wing media, how one story can raise two different sets of what they call alternative facts. And we can look at that as spin on either side. But when you get a news story that comes out and says one thing, and then you have each party and the party's media spin it to say things the way they want it to, it takes on a whole different meaning. And I agree that there does come a time when a line needs to be drawn, where we see all this frivolous and sensationalist reporting that is trying to undermine the president. There has to be a line drawn that says, you know, we have to keep facts away from speculation and opinion. And it just seems like any integrity in journalism from the mainstream media has disappeared. How do we get that back in the mainstream? I'm not sure. Because each media outlet seems to be placating to the core base of the audience they already have. But it is very destructive. It is very disruptive. And it is definitely lending a hand to the political chaos and violence that we see in this country. If you notice how the white supremacist narrative, you know, it didn't come until the media, you know, struck it up and sensationalized it. And, you know, when they don't talk about it, it kind of goes away. But this is I guess this is some of the blowback we have to live with in this information age, is it not?
Well, do we have to live with it? People, you know, accuse me of being too much of a crusader sometimes. Like, well, Craig, aren't you worried that you're going to get too much flack or too much grief for doing what you're doing? And my thing is, well, no, I'm not worried about that, obviously, because otherwise I would cower away and sit and take it and shut up and take the abuse like so many other people are doing. But look where that got us as a nation. Man, we've got the tentacles of a deep state wrapped around our elective system and just strangling out our government, and putting a strangle on our people, man, through the IRS and entertainment media and so many other ways. It's just this struggle to take over control of our country cannot be ignored and abided any further. Like, it's like an old country boy, I cannot abide it. You know,
I mean, I love it, man.
I feel like, you know, just saying, oh, no, man, I cannot abide it. I just can't, I cannot stand by and watch and let that happen and look myself in a mirror and not go, Craig, what the heck are you doing standing for this? You know, if I feel like this after all that I've been through, and all the threat that I've been under, and crashing the helicopters and all the different stuff that, you know, in the times when you figure you may not live, you know, after enough of it, you get to where, at least I did, I got to where I'm not willing to live a coward's life on any level, because I feel like, you know, last couple decades I'm living on bonus time anyway. Yeah. And if I can't be proud of myself or what I'm doing, then I'm doing something wrong. And so that's kind of how it makes me tick. I don't expect everybody to operate on that frequency, but that's just what makes me feel good. I feel good doing what's right. I feel good trying to empower the people that I love, trying to inform them so that they can look after what's best for them and kind of wake people up, shake them awake, you know, like, hey, the ship is sinking. Wake up. I don't want you to go down with it. You know, let's save this. Let's patch this thing up and have sail to brighter seas, you know. So I encourage other people to do that. I think some people start recognizing the beauty in that and get encouraged and attracted to that and go, yeah, you know what? If Sawman can do that, why can't I? Amen. You know, Saw's not a genius. He's not a perfect physical specimen. He's not a great speaker. He's not handsome. He's just a regular guy that just decided to not to abide it when he saw something that was so unpalatable and unacceptable. You know, I mean, we, the American people, are intended to run this country, man. That's how our founding fathers set it up. They Amen. Were very selfless men in that regard, man. They agonized over, that Bill of Rights, man, and our Constitution. It really was a beautifully, conceived, set of laws and country as they founded it. And, man, I think the least we could do is pay attention and roll our sleeves up and assert ourselves and participate and try to maintain the freedom that we have, man, because it's being eaten up. Yeah, every day.
A republic.
It doesn't go in reverse.
Exactly. A republic, if you can keep it, and right now we're at, we're holding on by our fingernails. We're up against the bottom of the hour. Network break. Craig Sawyer. Craig the Sawman Sawyer. Follow him on Twitter, by the way. Craig Sawyer has a Twitter presence. Always, always great. And you know, one of the best times I had, in Chicago, Illinois, was meeting, or Gurnee, Illinois. I'm not sure where it was. Chicago? I guess it was.
About what? 20 miles north of Chicago?
Yeah, okay. But this is actually meeting Craig Sawyer. He's a real guy. He's a man's man. He's an American hero, a true patriot. And, by the way, he's a sniper too. So, for all you pedos out there, he's a sniper. Just saying. You're listening to the Hagmann Report. Great, great time with, Craig Sawyer. Wow. Man, a lot of great information. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagmann Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either. But they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues. And so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.trainpostalwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagmann and Hagmann Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagmann for making this all possible. God bless.
to the Hagman Report. You know, I was just thinking, our guest, Craig Sawyer, Vets of Four, that's the number four, Vets of Four, childrescue.org, one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. As long as you don't peeve him off a little bit, okay? Because, or as long as you're not the enemy, all right? Because, I mean, he could take you out, like, from, you know, 2 miles with a straw. I'm telling you, the guy's deadly. And I was just laughing. Joe and I were laughing. You know, it's interesting how many people mistake, kindness for, tolerance or, you know, but our guest is just a stellar human being and a guy that, a real man's man. And I'll tell you something, a guy that we want on our side and we value that is on our side. And is out there in front of the pack, leading the pack. Vets 4, that's Vets, the number 4, childrescue.org. He's got a Twitter presence. He's got the website and such. So, Craig Sawyer, the Sawman Sawyer. Joe, you're talking as well.
Yeah,
the
during
fun
the break.
Stuff.
Yeah. And, folks, if you go on the Hagman Report write-up for the show tonight, it details a number of projects that Craig has worked on in Hollywood for the History Channel and the Military Channel. And one of the ones we were talking about during the break was that he was the most frequent expert on all 5 seasons of the History Channel's Top Shot. Now, Craig, I've seen a few of the episodes, just bits and pieces of them. I haven't really sat down to ever watch that show. But did you get to set the example of, you know, these different types of shots they were doing and different weaponry? How involved were you in the show?
Sometimes, yeah. I was involved in the production as far as lining up different vendors for the weapons and sometimes vehicles, and enjoyed that. And that's kind of how I got my foot in the door for production. They didn't call me a producer or give me credit for that, but I look in hindsight, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was connecting things, and some big things that they never capitalized on. I guess they didn't believe me or whatever, but, shame on them, cause we've used those for other things now. Right now I co-produce and I co-star with Arlie Ermey for one called Gunny Time, and we have a ball, and it's a shoot 'em up show, man. We go through a bunch of different historic and modern weapons and just blow stuff up and have great fun. Arlie's such an American patriot and hero, and he's just a good and decent man. And if you ever go to any firearms related trade show, he's there, and he's the biggest star in the entire firearms industry, man. He's like a rock star. He signs autographs all day long, every day. Wow. At any of these conventions. So he's just the most kind and personable guy you'd ever meet. So it's a blast doing, you know, with him. The people laugh at me because I smile and I laugh so much when I'm on them with him, because I'm just thinking the whole time, I'm like, I'm making a TV show with Gunny, you know. first time I saw him was on Full Metal Jacket, you know. Oh, what the heck is this? Oh, Jelly Donut. And the way
he does
that, oh man, he's like, yeah, here I am. I'm making TV with Gunny, you know. So it's just fun. It's surreal.
Well, and you know what? I think we all, you deserve that. It's kind of that would be like a vacation for you almost, blowing stuff up, and that'd be fun.
Yeah, I can't complain. I don't mind it a bit.
Well,
I laugh on set. We have a lot of fun. I mean, I work hard. I make sure that they get their shots. They call me one shot tall man because, you know, the high speed camera guys and all that, they've got to set each shot up, you know, multiple times, sometimes depending on what kind of target they're setting up and if it's an exploding target or something like that. But I can put the bullets where they want them and work with the cameraman so that everybody's in focus and we get it one time so they're not wasting money and daylight. So it's gone well, and I enjoy working with all the professional crew and shooters and all that. It's just been a good time. Well, I appreciate
that's great. That's great. That just sounds like a lot of fun. You know, I'd love to just something about being able to blow things up legally. It just appeals to me right now.
Yeah, man. It's therapy.
Therapy. There you go. Yeah, I'm trying to convince my wife to let me do blow some. Never mind. But you know, let's get back to current. Just if we can close this out with a little bit more current events. How optimistic are you, Craig, or pessimistic? Can we? You know, we see constantly Trump or the anti-Trump media going after Donald Trump, and never once talking about the Hillary Clinton Ukraine connection. Never talking about the Hillary Clinton emails, the deleted 33,000 emails, the broken, busted up laptops and equipment. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the DNC. It's always anti-Trump 24/7. You know what? Before we get into your optimism or pessimism, what about the infiltration of Congress? You know, the Awan brothers scandal, or the criminal aspect of that, the infiltration, where the Awan, Imran Awan, his brother, and about four other people infiltrated the IT department, been there for 12 years, a decade, under the tutelage of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. What the hell's going on there? I mean, what's up with that?
That's more, more of a symptom of the problem. The problem is we've got, a lack of justice in that town, and there's a lack of accountability. And so you've got crooks recognizing that other crooks are not being prosecuted, and people that are struggling for power are bending the rules and then breaking the rules and going further and further off the map of anything that's legally acceptable in the past, and just going for it now because there seems to be no police. You know, there's no,
exactly.
Nobody to hold them accountable. Nobody's getting perp walk. You don't see anything happening to Hillary or Obama or Holder or any of them. They're just doing whatever they want, you know, and, other crooks are emboldened by it. So we're seeing symptoms of that with people just, you know, hiring foreign nationals and giving them, you know, undue access and just, I'll tell you this. I do have great hope that the recent Awan brother that got snatched up as he was trying to skip the country in dark of night back to Pakistan, they've got his laptop, and he did not have the opportunity to scrub that. So he didn't have bleach bit, sledgehammer, and all the time he needed to desperately hide whatever was in there, like the Clinton and DNC folks have been doing in the past. So I do hope and pray that information is being exploited to the max, and I think what comes out of that will take down a lot of these the swamp monsters, if you will, in D.C. right now. So
okay, now with your experience as a federal investigator, you've got and I got to ask you this. I've been dying to ask you this actually. Hina Alvi, his wife, who is in Pakistan, you know, and ostensibly free, scot-free from prosecution, insulated over in Pakistan. She's coming back to the United States. There's got to be a plea deal, or for a plea deal, apparently. So do you think
she was on the run, right?
Well, no, she had left the United States. Actually, the TSA, as well as the federal agent, stopped her. She was taking out $12,400 in cash out of the country on her person, stopped at the airport. This is months before Imran
right.
won. But they let her go anyway. To Pakistan with her kids. Now she's coming back because I believe they promised her a plea deal. So now, from your federal investigative experience, what's that telling you about the Awans and maybe perhaps some state's evidence against Wasserman Schultz or others?
Well, it would all be speculation, to be honest with you right now, because I've been busy with this, you know, production, this
sure.
documentary shoot. And so I haven't watched it so closely, but, I'll say this. I hope for the best. I'm getting bits and pieces, from that one.
Okay.
But I do hope for the best.
Fair enough.
We need to grant immunity to certain people to accomplish the greater good. I'll say that just generally speaking. If you'll read between the lines there, I think in certain cases we need to let a few scumbags off so that we can hook the bigger fish.
And you've done that, right? I mean, you've been involved in that process in your experience as a federal agent and such, where you've seen that happen, right?
I've seen it happen, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, of course, investigators, they don't make those decisions. Prosecutors do, federal prosecutors and such. But very interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Craig, I want to kind of switch gears here and ask your opinion on this. The recent change, we've seen a lot of political violence, you know, really begin during the Trump campaign at some of his rallies, and it's really taken off as of late. Now, one thing that's been in the media is the Antifa group, and finally, the media, maybe out of a need to a force, they're being forced to talk about this, is pointing out that the violence that these people use against any and everybody they disagree with, and it's put this Antifa in a bad light. We saw Ben Shapiro speak at Berkeley last Thursday, and in a change from when Milo Yiannopoulos went there in February and riots broke out, there was a very heavy police presence. Now we see that a free speech week is going to be conducted in Berkeley with a number of people on the conservative side that are going there to speak. Why do you think we've seen this change in the tone of the media when dealing with Antifa? And do you expect that the police will continue this trend of cracking down on people coming to the rallies with masks on and weapons in their hand?
I see it as an overreach by those who are behind Antifa. You know, they've gone so far in their radical misguidance, if you will, that the mainstream news media have had to denounce them out of practical necessity to survive. Otherwise, I mean, they would have lost even more credibility. They're already, what, two slots below Nickelodeon at night, Nick at night's at 11th in the ratings, and CNN is at 13th.
Yeah.
So they're already taking a beating. Even their own liberal followers are bailing on them. They're getting tired of being lied to. So I think when you've got a group, a hate group like Antifa that doesn't make sense, when you watch them attacking people and just how violent, bitter, and nasty they are, you can only condone it and whitewash that so long before you have to admit, like, okay, yeah, maybe that they're not the best. Yeah. I think, and that's kind of all the mainstream media has done, is kind of admitted, well, maybe they're not quite the best, but they're still not, you know, denouncing them and condemning Antifa. Well, they're not going that far.
No, you're right.
Well, we're not really going to back them so much like we used to, because they would like to, but they can't, because they would lose too much money, lose too much of their status as a media, and lose too much credibility. So I think they're having to just kind of soften their support more than anything else.
Well, one of the funny things that came out of the media as they were covering this group and the tactics that they used was one commentator on CNN said that they are on the side of angels. And I thought that was pretty funny.
I saw that. Who was that?
Ridiculous.
I can't,
I'll
find out.
What kind of sick mind comes up with something like that? It doesn't check out no matter, you know, what program you're on. I'm scratching my head. And look, I don't know if you guys heard much about it. I was busy at the time. I tried to pay attention a little bit. But I saw a lot of people reporting online that that these Nazis, that people that had like Nazi t-shirts and stuff on, and the Antifa folks were seen getting off of the same buses.
Oh yeah.
Before all this violence at one of the rallies, and I wonder how far that's gotten, or if that's been verified, or if that's just rumor.
No, in fact, Joe talked about that,
there were a few eyewitnesses that gave their account on YouTube and talked about an army of buses all coming together, parking one behind the other, and then lining up, kind of like you see at a school, a high school.
Or a concert. Well, yeah.
And then these people not only getting off the bus and putting on these different, you know, clothes from opposite sides of the political spectrum, but interestingly enough, one of the witnesses also goes on to describe afterwards, after the events in Charlottesville that day, a number of them from both sides of the political aisle that were allegedly fighting at each other hours before, eating together at diners and other restaurants, yep. Which, you know, when we see these type of protests, we know, especially with Charlottesville, there was a guy named Jason Kessler who was a huge Obama supporter, and his Twitter feed was just full of the Obama stuff. Then all of a sudden, on the night of the election, he made some weird statement that, oh, I've been red-pilled and I'm now a Republican or Trump supporter.
Suddenly.
He had his permit for that Charlottesville rally pulled, and the ACLU, who never steps in to do anything on behalf of a conservative or Christian or any group that is related with them, stepped in and got the permit reinstated. And there's just a lot, I mean, with the whole Charlottesville incident, we know, and from just experience seeing a number of these things play out in different ways, that federal undercover operatives like to go in there and start the violence and, you know, then leave, or get the violence, the ball rolling with the violence and, create this disturbance. And I believe that to be the case.
I wouldn't limit it to federal
here.
Undercover operatives.
Well, no, maybe not federal undercover operatives. There, I'm sure there are many other operatives, but it is all influenced anymore by politics and money, to the point where there's an article today that talked about Hillary Clinton and taking $800,000 from her campaign money and giving it to an Antifa group. And when interviewed, they, this one section of the Antifa group, I think it's Onward Together, something like that, they denied receiving money from George Soros, but wouldn't deny that they got money from Hillary Clinton. But the funds show that to be the case. And speaking of Hillary Clinton, I know we talked about the Arkansas and Clinton body count. Any thoughts on this resurgence of Hillary Clinton in the news media being fawned over by everybody with her book titled What Happened, as she goes on to blame every and anybody besides herself for the election loss?
Well, you know, they may try to give her credit or praise somehow, but what I see overwhelmingly is ridicule. People are humiliating Hillary Clinton for raising her rancid head once again and throwing the blame for that which she is responsible. So if you go to any of the news feeds, like let's say CNN airs a story about Hillary, just go read in the comments and you'll see people just bashing and going, oh, they're just trashing her, man. I think most of the American public is sick of her. I think they see through her, and it's just bad, and it's just old. And it's almost like they keep raising her from the dead and, you know, ejecting her with adrenaline one more time and taking her out of the crypt and wheeling her back into public and hoping they can get her back in there. I think because so many of the globalists have so much invested in her, that she was supposed to hand the keys to the United States over to them. And they've lost a lot of money for their investment. So I think they keep trying to dust her back off and put lipstick back on her and wheel that pig back into the arena, but the American public aren't having any part of it from what I'm seeing. The comments are hysterical, man. They're just slaps.
It is good entertainment.
I just had a great, great mental image, which you just said.
Don't get me started.
Oh, man.
John just sent me a note saying that you have a great YouTube channel with a bunch of different videos from shooting to other videos that you've done. What is the name of your YouTube channel?
Oh, I'd have to look. It's Craig Saulman Sawyer or Craig Sawyer. Let me if you guys.
Well,
I can put it up real quick.
John says it's Greg.
Yeah,
Craig Saulman Sawyer.
We got you covered.
Okay, Craig Saulman.
You have to look.
And I didn't know that was there.
Like
so, folks, go subscribe.
There's the Twitter. There's the YouTube. There's the Facebook. You know, the public Facebook page. That one's Craig Saulman Sawyer.
Yeah.
I try to, you know, but sometimes people have stuff occupied. You choose a name that you can, but you know, I try to put stuff on multiple outlets because so many of these tech companies manipulate the reach anymore, especially if you're conservative, boy.
Oh yeah.
You know, got people, friends of mine saying, Craig, I haven't seen anything from you in weeks or months. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I post multiple times every day to try to keep people up to speed. They're like, man, I have to keep clicking like on your page and follow, and then I'll come back the next day and it'll be gone.
That's
right.
And I
gotta re-like you. And I'm like, man, you know what? I'll say this. Let me say this, man. I'm gonna go there right now.
Cool.
I know some people that at the top of some of these tech companies. And to my faith, they're nice and decent people. And yet their platforms are being used to the wishes of the owners of these companies, anti-American agenda. And they're openly, well, I won't say openly, but they're obviously suppressing American patriots and decent conservative American citizens' view and voice, and suppressing our First Amendment rights, suppressing our voice. And I would say, you know what? Shame on you, man. Look yourself in the mirror. You can't, I don't care how much money you have. You can't buy an honorable mirror. You can't buy it. And when you look in that mirror, you're going to see whatever it is that you really are. And if you know that you're undermining your fellow countrymen for a dark agenda, maybe you don't think it's dark, but look, if you're trying to suppress the voice of decent American people and families and patriots, that's dark. If you don't recognize it, I'll tell you outright. That's dark and ugly. And I would say even evil, because of the direction that it's headed. It's headed toward tyranny, and you're part of it, and shame on you. And so, I would encourage anybody that's working for any of these big tech companies, you're so proud, you're so pro-gay, you're so pro, you know, modern changes and all this stuff. Well, you're also pro-tyranny, because the way this is marching, the direction that this all is marching, is to suppress the majority, to suppress the morally decent, to usher in a type of perversion of the minority and usher in control of the American people by a globalist cabal of criminals who are not good people and that want absolute control. And when they get absolutely control, it turns dark. What they want are not good things, no matter what model you're told they want. So the ultimate globalists, those that control the trillions, want essentially a global communist model. So it's not like we all get to be wealthy and enjoy it. No, we all get reduced to the lowest common denominator under their model. And if you look at any of the models where the government has gotten too big and gotten too much power for too long over the citizens, it has inevitably turned hostile. And those are the cases where you see government-sponsored genocide.
That's right.
Millions of families lined up and exterminated. I mean, that doesn't happen on accident. That happens when the citizens willingly give up all of their rights to the government and assume that the government's going to take care of them. And I ask anybody on the radical or on the extreme left to take an honest look at those that you know in federal government, and ask yourself if they're so brilliant and if they're so sharp and that they have so many of the answers, that we really want them in charge of everything. There's a reason that the private sector crushes the federal government on performance. There's a reason UPS and FedEx are crushing, you know, the mail service. And there's a reason that the DMV is not all that impressive a place to go. I mean, we got to be honest, folks. Giant, all-powerful federal government is not the solution. That's what I stand on. I want the people empowered, because I think it's better that way. So somewhere there's a perfect solution for just enough government. So those of you that are so proud to be part of a big tech company that's making so much money right now, be ashamed of how they're manipulating and silencing the voice of the decent American patriot. And start asking some questions there, and start researching from a different angle, and start being honest with yourself, and maybe start being part of the solution in a little bit different way. Okay.
So, amen.
That's my soapbox there. Thanks for letting me get that out.
No worries. And I got to tell you, what started out, you know, being kind of a dark, as we start out with a dark topic, to hear you say that and to know that you're on our side, on the side of the Christian conservative American true red, white, and blue. And I don't want to confuse patriot I won't go there, but just to know that you're on our side, that you're out there running point. I can't think of a better really a better gift than that. And folks, please support vetsforchildrescue.org. Do what you can. Keep them in business, because they do great work. Craig the Sawman Sawyer is a hero, an American hero, a true American patriot. And I want to thank you, partly because I'm afraid of you. No, I'm kidding. I want to thank you for everything you do. You're just a tremendous man and really a true hero in everything you have done. And you're standing up for the truth and for the people those without a voice. And that's something that, wow. And for people, for everything you've been through and everything you've done, it's just an amazing, you're a gift to us, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's very flattering, and those are kind words, Doug. I appreciate that coming from you. And I want to, in response to that, I want to say, man, I'm just a regular guy who's trying to do good, and everybody can do the same. You know, everybody can rise up and unite and speak your positive voice and try to seek the most intelligent and effective way to have whatever positive impact you can at your level, where you are every day. You know, you get better at it as you go. I mean, I screw up constantly, but man, my heart's good, and I'm trying to move that ball upfield for the American people, man. I want a safer, more prosperous, brighter, more fun United States for everybody that I care about. So that's all I'm doing, is trying to help facilitate that. And so it's not about one guy, man. You know, I appreciate when people are thankful for my contributions and efforts. And with that, I like to encourage other people to do the same, man. If I can do it, I'm not empowered with any special gifts. I had a fantastic father who was a pastor, a spiritually mature and strong man that shared a lot of wisdom with me. And so I did learn and appreciate a lot from that. And yeah, I went into the SEAL teams, and taxpayers spent a lot of money giving me a lot of training, and other agencies after that. And I am the beneficiary of that, but you know, my body's shattered for it too. So it's a trade off. So I am very capable and I am very connected, but I say all that to say this, man, I'm just a regular guy. I'm just a regular guy trying to do something good. And I think we all can. I think that's the message, is like, man, you can too. Whatever I can do, so can you. And so,
amen.
I encourage you to do it, you know, strap it on and let's go.
Hey, you know what? I said this this morning on my morning show, you know, or yesterday, I think, I don't know. We are all combatants in this war, either willing or unwilling. Hey, we've got to fight. What other choice do we have? But that's just my view. And thank you, Craig, so much for being part of it. We've reached the end of the program, brother.
Pleasure.
What a great 2 hours.
My pleasure. There's more than one way to fight for your country. That's what I keep telling people.
That's right. Thank you, my friend. All right.
Thanks, Craig.
What a great guy. What a great guy. Craig Sawyer.
Absolutely.
The Sawman. And we had such a great time with him in Chicago. And I'll tell you what, you talk about really being on point and really intelligent, very articulate and well focused.
That'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe, God bless, and have a great evening.